Call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, now that week number five is in the books and the National Football League will have top five, bottom five coming up in hour number three. We have Good, the Bad, and the Dumb coming up. And we'll also get into Matt Rhule being fired yesterday. That happened at the end of the show. What was really, really interesting about that was that yesterday on the program, Josh Alper and I were talking about Matt Rhule's situation in Carolina. A number of starting quarterbacks since he's been there. A lot of it due to injury, but just changing up, trying to see what works. Matt Rhule had a successful college career. He was at Temple, then he went at Baylor, and then he made the jump into the National Football League. But like a lot of other, like a lot of college coaches who have, you know, had some success at college and then looked to make that next step into the NFL, he struggled, and he struggled enough that they let him go. But I thought Alper made a really good point yesterday, which was, if I was Matt Rhule, I wouldn't exactly resign, but I wouldn't exactly hate the idea of being fired, right? Because there's so many college jobs that are being open right now, and maybe, just maybe, he went, you know what, I think I found my lane, and my lane is the college game. Now, maybe he didn't. Maybe he got such a taste of the NFL and being one of 32 people on the planet that get to coach an NFL team, and maybe he likes that more. But if you find that you want to be around things you're successful at, and if you are successful on the college, and you're a good recruiter, Nick Saban has found this lane, right? Other people have found their lane in terms of coaching in college. Maybe, just maybe, he's better off going, you know what, get me out of here. I don't want to deal with this anymore. I'm not coming in at 4 o'clock in the morning to go 1-16. All right. But Nebraska's opened up there. All these other jobs are opening up, and I want to be first, you know, foremost in line to get those jobs. I want my agent making the right contacts. I want to interview for these positions. I want to go back to where I'm successful. You're going to give me a huge payout. I'll get out of this thing. And then I'll be refocused on continuing my career at a level that I'm playing good at. Now, maybe, again, that's nowhere near what he wants. Maybe he's like, no, when you have one of 32 jobs in the world, you want to keep that job no matter what. But I think I agree with Alper on this. I think there's so much frustration. He's tried every quarterback he possibly can. Nothing seems to be working. He can't seem to get this thing off the ground for the Carolina Panthers. So maybe Matt Rhule realizes, you know, it was a lot more fun when I was winning at Baylor, you know, right? So maybe he'll go back to the college game. Top five, bottom five coming up. We'll explore that a little bit. We'll get into the baseball playoffs as the divisional series start today.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, the bad, and the dumb. Good morning. Thanks for joining us on Wake Up Call. By the way, you can hit us up on Twitter. Again, we've been talking about roughing the passer and Monday night's game. You want to get your thoughts in at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. And we got the good, bad, and the dumb. What is the good of the day?
The good of that, you know me, I like Nostradamus type predictions.
Yes.
Right? But I don't know if this one was just born out of pettiness.
Okay.
But it came true.
Oh, my goodness.
So Braves pitcher Spencer Strider had made a prediction back in August after he got, I'm not going to say he got shellacked. He gave up six hits against the Mets. Right? But they went on to win the game.
Right.
He had said during that time, August 7th, a lot of weird hits. They seem to be having a lot of luck right now offensively. That's great. It's August. We'll see what things are like in October.
Well, yeah, that's nice, but that's not a prediction.
Well, I want to say it is because it's a way for us to talk about how the Mets just screwed
right.
the pooch again.
That's very true. Very true. Because he's basically like if he had said, we'll see when they collapse and we sweep them at the end of the series and they have to play in the wild card round and lose to San Diego. Then
true.
I'd be like, he's got some mystical powers. But yeah, good point. Yeah, they were the hottest team then. Like,
oh, my God.
He was right. By the way.
It really is amazing how, we had said it early in the season that we were just waiting, you know, we're waiting for the Mets all over themselves again.
Because right.
it just
yeah.
seems to happen. I didn't think it was going to happen.
I know. It's so
I thought
crazy.
They were in the driver's seat. They were in cruise control. They were destined to make a run in the playoffs, at least.
You know what's kind of the new thing now with the Mets? And I hate this because I actually loved it. Now that when that Narcos song comes out, fans of the opposing team are like dancing. Like last that game against the Padres had a 4-0 lead.
Yeah.
They bring in Edwin Diaz. They're doing the trumpet thing. And the Padre fans are just dancing and laughing and having it like
it
whatever.
Made absolutely no sense at all to be playing that.
You know, and the Mr. Mets got his trumpet out and everybody. And the Padre fans are like, whatever. We got two men on and we've got a 4-0 lead. And last time I checked, there was no, you had one hit on the board. So good luck, Narcos. Yep. Good luck.
You're already
good
trying luck, to bust Edwin our Diaz. Pitcher for using some sort of substance.
Yeah. Exactly.
Now, wow. Joe Musgrove might have been using something. I don't know.
By the way, I responded to a tweet yesterday from some guy that covers baseball, and I know what point he was trying to make, but it was kind of a dumb tweet. He puts out a picture of an umpire checking the ear, and then he goes, "Imagine explaining this to somebody who's never watched baseball before." And I was like, yeah, the umpire is checking to see if the guy is concealing a substance that would have helped him play baseball. Like, what's so complicated about that? I've never seen baseball before, what's he doing? Actually, he's the pitcher. He throws the ball, and the umpire is just checking behind his ears because sometimes you can put a substance in your ear or somewhere on your body that allows you to throw the baseball better. Oh, okay.
I thought it was like, to make sure that he actually did take a shower and washed behind his ears.
Yeah, exactly.
Like his mother told him to.
Exactly. Some people just don't overreact to these things. It wasn't that ridiculous.
No, I mean, we've had umpires go out to the mound all the time.
Oh,
like,
my God.
I mean, my favorite, which pitcher was it that grabbed something out of his pocket and threw it?
Oh, that was one of the Negro brothers. I think it was Joe Negro.
Was it Joe Negro?
Yeah.
I knew it
was a Negro. He had a little piece of like sandpaper and he threw it. He threw it. But that's, you know what? That's what I was waiting for.
Right.
I watched Buck Showalter go out and I watched the umpires come together. And then they kept showing Musgrove and I was like, does he look nervous? Does he look like he needs to hide something? Is he going to wipe behind his ear? We were watching him to see what would you be doing in that situation? Like, oh shoot!
And I watched a video about that too, and like, look, Joe Musgrove looks nervous right here. And I'm like, oh, he doesn't.
Yeah,
he looks annoyed.
No. Yeah, he's probably annoyed, right? But you know what? If you're Buck Showalter, you got nothing to lose, right? You're like, your team stinks. Right, they stink.
I mean, it was just an epic collapse.
Hey, by the way, one quick note because this was about Spencer Strider. The Atlanta Braves, with all due respect to Spencer Strider's deal, this is just one of many deals they have to lock up their young talent. They have Michael Harris signed a big deal. They got Austin Riley to a $200+ million contract. They've got Ronald Acuna Jr. signed through like 2027, some ridiculous thing like that. They have gone and basically they've taken their young players and went, you want to stay here for a while? Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Like, we'll pay you. And guys at 21, 22, 24, they're all locked into the Braves forever. So good job by them.
Yeah, they're spending cash over there.
Alex Anthopoulos is the general manager. He's been great. All right, what's the bat of the day?
The bat of the day is that Ron Rivera just threw Carson Wentz way under the bus.
Wow.
Way under the bus.
Let me preface this. You just do not see coaches do this. You just do not see coaches do this.
I kind of liked it, though. It was funny.
I did, too.
Ron Rivera was asked why the Cowboys, Giants, and Eagles are all further ahead in their rebuilds, which coincided with when Washington started theirs. Ron Rivera answered, quarterback.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah. Now, did he have to clarify that to say, well, what I meant was, we just got our guy, and they've developed their guys.
I don't know if he did, but that's exactly, you know, what I guess was said afterwards. Yeah. Like, not so many words, like kind of.
Daniel Jones has been there for a few years. Dak Prescott and Cooper Rush have been there for a few years.
We
Jalen
haven't
Hurts
had a chance.
Is now in like year three, right? I mean,
you know, and even the idea of like, you know, well, Cooper Rush, he just fits in their system.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So but if I'm Carson Wentz, I'm like, coach,
come on.
I'm getting killed out here. He has zero offensive line. I mean, I'm not making excuses for Carson Wentz. He's not playing well, but there's plenty of other reasons why the Commanders stink.
Yeah, I don't think Carson Wentz is going to last that much longer there.
No, the writing's on the wall now, right?
I think he has the season.
I think that's it. Like when you've had three stops, every stop the team wants to get rid of you. Like, Like, the Colts aren't even willing to go, hey, maybe it wasn't Carson Wentz. They're like, no, it was Carson Wentz. Like, it's Carson Wentz. Like, you lost it. You got shut out by Jacksonville. No, it's still Carson Wentz. Don't worry about it. We know. Like, it wasn't just that one game. We were good with this. The Washington will probably figure out the same thing. But, yeah, and you don't see coaches do that very often because they never want to put it on the players, right? That's kind of like their number one rule. Like, in the end, it'll be my fault. The buck stops with me. I don't ever want to blame a player. I don't want to ever say that, you know, whatever. And it's kind of, yes, I kind of get what he was saying. Yeah, we just got the, like Ron Rivera has not been there the whole time. But as I've said before, Washington, this is the seventh guy to start the season at quarterback in 7 years. Now, that's not all on Ron Rivera because he just got there a handful of years ago. But that organization has not been consistent at that position for very long. So he's right in that position is you just can't develop. Like, if you just keep changing quarterbacks, you're going to stink in this league. That's just the way it is. You know, I mean, we say it all the time. There's just not enough players that can play it at a high level. Now, finding that guy is difficult, but you also can't keep changing the position constantly, like all the time. So, but
no, that's the problem we see. You know, we always talk about on the coaching side too, where, you know, some teams like the Cleveland Browns for years, they had almost felt like they had a new coach every single season.
Right.
And there was no consistency. Well, you got the same thing with the quarterback position. You know, there's no consistency being developed.
I mean, RG3, Dwayne Haskins, Alex Smith, Taylor Heineke. Am I missing a guy?
Colt McCoy.
Colt McCoy. You've got Carson Wentz. I mean, there's a whole bunch of them that have been there, and they just can't. They can't find the right guy.
And they always have one that, Tyler Heineke, who all of a sudden is like, oh, my God, they found the answer. One game.
Yep.
Exactly. One game, easy. One and done.
City by
Didn't
storm.
Ryan Fitzpatrick play for him last
Ryan
year?
Ryan Fitzpatrick was another one I mentioned. Yep, Ryan Fitzpatrick was another one. Right? Just a revolving door at that position. But, yeah, if I'm Carson Wentz, I want to go like, coach, come on.
Give me a shot, man. It's only been five games. Come on.
All right, what's the dumb of the day?
Dumb of the day is that the Texans are in their bye week.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
So they are, to keep their cashiers busy, I guess, they are having a trade-in sale.
Uh-oh.
So you can bring in an old jersey and swap it out for a new one and get 44% off the new jersey.
Okay. Any particular reason why 44% is the number?
I'm glad you asked, Tony.
Yeah.
Because the only jerseys that you can bring in are from 2017 to 2021. Making old jerseys such as, you know, if you have a J.J. Watt jersey that you want to trade in for, or a DeAndre Hopkins, or David Carr, David Carr.
Right.
You know, old jerseys you want to swap, you cannot swap those in. It's only for players when you played from 2017 and beyond. And really
further back or forward?
Forward.
Okay, so if you
2017 to current.
To current. Okay. So, like, for example, if you have a number 4 jersey, you could
and
get
that's
rid of that?
That's, I think, the real reason behind it is that there are still too many number 4 jerseys in the stadium.
Good for them.
Hence, the 44% off.
Wow! Fantastic.
I mean, and the reason why this is dumb, the surface is brilliant, but the reason why it's dumb, just come out and say it.
Just come out and say it.
Just come out and say, like,
that would be awesome.
You got a Deshaun Watson jersey. We really don't want them here in a couple of weeks when he shows up in the stadium for his first game of the year.
Would not that be a fantastic, like, ad on TV?
Oh,
like, hi, I'm blah, blah, blah of the Houston Texans. Are you tired of having your 4 jersey in the line? Would you like to get rid of it and maybe get an upgrade? We've got Davis Mills. How about Damian Pierce? He's a new rookie running back that's kind of catching everybody's attention. Or anybody else for that matter. We don't care. Bring it on down to our Energy Stadium. Trade it in for a brand new model. And you'll get 44% off. Wink, wink.
I mean, if you're the Texans, front office, how nervous are you right now that he's going to come to town in a couple of weeks? Because, I mean, never mind that them announcing this coincided with him being allowed back in the Browns training facility yesterday. Yesterday was his first day.
Right.
And then the Texans go, hey, let's have a promotion where you can trade in your jersey. They've got to be nervous as all get out because, I mean.
No doubt.
you know, he's coming to town and like he'll look into the stands and see number fours everywhere. Because right. Everyone bought a number four Deshaun Watson jersey.
Exactly. Exactly. He was the creme de la creme of the league. Remember, he was so popular.
Oh God, he almost single handedly beat the Chiefs.
Oh.
I mean, it was. I mean, the end of that season when he got paid a ton of money and before everything unraveled. I mean, we were anointing him that he's going to be the MVP next year.
Absolutely, absolutely.
If he does what he does this year, he'll win the MVP because the Texans, you know, have a lot of work, but he's going to lead them to the promised land.
Yep. Yep. Not bad, Houston, not bad, but I'm with you. It would be great if they went, just hey,
come just straight come out and say it.
Just
yeah.
say it. Let's just
because I'm not sure. I, no one's going to be trading in a Tyrod Taylor jersey.
No,
or, you know, I'm
right.
trying to think of players that just recently played that didn't last that long.
All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb. Sharon Thorsland is going to join us from WBT in Charlotte. We're going to talk Matt Rhule and the Carolina Panthers. And it's not surprising there, but, you know, Dave Tepper is the owner. Remember Ron Rivera? They kind of parted ways. Matt Rhule was the kind of the up-and-coming new young coach. But it did not work out. So we'll talk to her about the Panthers' struggles and Matt Rhule and all of that coming up at 7:40. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, so still buzzing about last night's game. Again, your thoughts on roughing the passer? Is there anything we can do about it? If you're an owner of an NFL team, what would you really want? Would you say, I don't care, like, let them howl at the door, let them eat cake, I'm not going to change a rule, I want to protect my quarterbacks, that's just the way it is, I'm sorry you're all upset, or would you say, yeah, this ain't good, we got to figure this out, we got to maybe do something different, because this is kind of getting out of hand, and maybe it is getting out of hand, and I was saying in hour number one, when people are talking about officials being worried about a Tua Tagovailoa situation, I don't know what they're worried about. They're not responsible for injuries on the field. They're not preventing things happening. They are just officiating and throwing flags when it happens. Do you think if Tua Tagovailoa is or any other quarterback has a concussion and they're lying on the ground, do you think they care whether or not a flag was thrown or not? Like, at the end of the day, like, do you think coaches, if their player is lying motionless on the field, do you think they care whether or not a flag has been thrown or not? That's the only thing official can do. He can't prevent, like, no coach would ever go out on the field and go, this is your fault. You know, a referee is just there to watch the game, and then when he sees an infraction, throw a flag. But he can't prevent the infraction from happening, right? When you have a defensive back plow into a wide receiver before the ball is caught, that's not the official's fault. He throws a pass interference penalty. So, to me, if I'm an official, I have to take that out of the equation. All right, so I'm not going to be blamed. Even if I am, what am I going to do about it? And now I got to call this game. So our officials, this has been questioned all morning long. And again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. My question is, do you think that the officials are throwing flags and penalties in the letter of the law, and the law needs to be changed, or is the law okay and the officials are over-exaggerating it? I think it's they're over exaggerating it, because I just feel like these roughing the passer issues pop up every now and then. But when you have two within 1 week and then you have other sort of circumstances, I think we're really seeing this being a situation that the NFL is going to have to find a way to address. All right. So it marred a game last night that was a typical to me Kansas City kind of game. In where they fell behind and everyone's like, ooh, look at this. Uh-oh. But we don't learn our lessons in sports sometimes, because then they come roaring back and Travis Kelce, 4 touchdown catches, 25 yards. How great is that? Reminded me of like Jerome Bettis one time for the Steelers had like 3 touchdowns on like 6 yards. It was like one of those statistics. He had 7 receptions, 4 of them were touchdown catches and 25 yards total. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. But the Raiders at 1-4, they might be a good team that is a dangerous team, but they just can't seem to find enough victories. Devontae Adams was really upset last night, and rightfully so. I mean, him and Hunter Renfro got tangled up on a scissor route, and they both collapsed into each other. You know what's funny when you watch a game on TV? It's like when Derek Carr steps back to throw the pass – The only thing that you see as a viewer is you just see two Raider receivers on the ground. You don't know how they got on the ground.
Yeah.
So you assume that there's got to be pass interference on this play, right?
Because, or you didn't even see it at all. You heard it was like, oh, yeah. He fell down.
Right,
like,
right.
Where?
You just sort of went like he's throwing the ball, and by the time the ball reaches its destination, there are like two Raiders on the ground. So I thought somebody plowed into them and like knocked them over before they finished their route. And then they show the replay, and it's like they ran into each other. They ran right into each other on a play that they practiced in. But it was because of the press coverage. The press coverage threw Davante Adams off just enough that in the timing of it, boom, they collided and fell to the ground and the ball landed incomplete. And so I think, and then you saw Carr's reaction to it where he was like visibly mad, like there wasn't a flag. But I think when he watches the replay, he's going to go,
Because it's one of those that's a bang, bang play.
Right.
You would.
He's
the quarterback,
like me,
you're
right?
Going to assume, like, oh, somebody must have pass interference
somehow.
He's
throwing it to point A, and nobody's at point A,
yeah.
Right? And he's, you know, and it's frustrating. Listen, if you're in the middle heat of the game and you just realize that there's a ball incomplete on fourth down, I don't care what's the circumstance. You're like, flag anywhere? Is there any second chance of doing this again? Do I have to walk off the field now? So I'm sure that was the case. But Adams was angry. I mean, he was livid because he had a first down catch down the sidelines that didn't, he bobbled it just enough when he went out of bounds. He didn't secure it. By the way, Davante Adams' cleats were really nice last night. I mean, am I the only one that notices the footwear of the particular wide receiver? Had that shiny silver. They were really, that's a nice look. But it's got to be frustrating because he, you know, I don't care what your circumstances and what money you're getting or who you're playing with. When you leave a team like New England back in the day or the Packers like he just did or the Steelers back in the day or some, you know, the teams that were consistently in the playoffs and, you know, consistently giving you a chance for a Super Bowl, you hate it when you make that decision and you realize, oh, no. Like, we're 1-4. Like, we're not going anywhere. And you know you've got some years on your career. You're not there for 1 year, and then you're going to go somewhere else. That's got to be the frustrating part. It's like, yeah, I'm playing with my college teammate, and I'm in Las Vegas now, and I got more money, and I was frustrated in Green Bay, whatever. But you're looking around going, we're supposed to be better than this. 1-4. He knows this league is hard. It's hard to make the playoffs at 1-4. Because like we say all the time, the more you lose, the more the Raiders lose, the more they got to win just to catch to 500, just to get to 500. So it's complex. Matt Rhule got fired yesterday by the Carolina Panthers. Talked about college coaches coming into the NFL. So somebody compiled a list. Since 2000, here are the records. You ready for this? Here are the records for college coaches who are in the NFL, who went to the NFL. Urban Meyer, 2-11. All right, we get that. Matt Rhule went 11-27. Cliff Kingsbury, 26-27-1. That was a little surprising. I didn't think Cliff Kingsbury had a huge like winning record, but I didn't think it was losing either.
Yeah, I didn't think,
right?
I didn't think it was losing
either. Like if you had told me 28-26, I would have been like, all right, that seems about right. But on the losing end, I didn't know. Bill O'Brien, 52-48. That's a little above 500 for Bill O'Brien. Chip Kelly at the Eagles, 26-21, with the Niners 2-14. He's doing a good job at UCLA though.
Yeah, he found his group. He's back. He's back in college, back where he should be.
Doug Marrone with the Bills, 15-17, with the Jags, 23-43. Remember, they gave Doug Marrone a long time in Jacksonville. Remember that? Like they would.
Well,
lose,
that was
lose,
the whole.
Lose.
Remember that was the whole talk with Jacksonville with Shad Khan was that, hey, you know what? You could be terrible.
Yeah,
but you're gonna get your years to try to right this ship.
You certainly are. You certainly are.
Unless you're Urban Meyer.
Yep, unless you're Urban Meyer.
Greg, now, I was just real quick. Does Chip Kelly still use the signs? Do we know?
Oh, that's a good question. I haven't seen a UCLA game in a while, so I wonder about that. Yeah, but they're 6-0. They're ranked in the, I think, 6-0. 6-0 or 5-0. They're undefeated. Greg Schiano, Buccaneers, 11-21. Here's the success. Jim Harbaugh, 44-19-1. That was successful. Pete Carroll, extremely successful. 121-76-1 in a Super Bowl championship. But Lane Kiffin, 5-15, and Bobby Petrino, our good friend Bobby Petrino, 3-10 in that 1 year with the Falcons. Mm. All right, we'll talk Matt Rhule and the Carolina Panthers. They are a mess, and they have Christian McCaffrey on the team. with Sharon Thornton next as we continue. It's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Just as we finished wrapping up the show yesterday, the news came down that Matt Rhule had been let go with the Carolina Panthers. They are 1-4 offense in the bottom level of the league. Where do they go from here? And talk about their season. Sharon Thorsland joins us, WBT in Charlotte, Panthers sideline reporter, on this news that happened yesterday, the first NFL coach to be fired in the 2022 season. How are you, Sharon?
I'm great, thanks. How are you doing?
It didn't seem all that surprising, but in the end, how did the reaction to the news come down?
You know, it was interesting. We had a press conference with owner David Tepper yesterday to try to explain how this finally occurred, and he sort of danced around it for the most part, but apparently the loss to San Francisco on Sunday evening was sort of the nail in the coffin. He felt that the team was not trying as hard, that there was some drop off in their effort, and that was sort of the final blow for him. I mean, clearly Matt Rhule was not a winner in the NFL. It's tough for any college coach to make that jump. We've seen it many times, and it was the same with him. 11 wins over the course of, you know, 2+ years just wasn't cutting it, and David Tepper finally had enough.
Can you give us an idea, because we've gone through this with plenty of coaches in the past who go from the college level to the NFL. They bring a sense of collegeism into the professional ranks. It doesn't work. Was he that kind of coach, or did he understand what kind of athlete he was coaching?
No, he was definitely that kind of coach who brought college with him. Instead of calling it the organization, you know, the Carolina Panthers organization, he called it a program, just like, you know, he would do in college. It was a program. We have a process. We had a way of doing things, instilling a culture. He was very, very, very college-oriented. His second year in during training camp, he implemented some disciplinary rules that you would see in college, making guys run laps after they dropped a fumble, go touch a sign that said, don't beat ourselves, that kind of thing. He clearly had success in college and thought he could bring that entire culture, that entire way of doing things to the NFL, and it just doesn't work, and it didn't work here.
Was there a level of frustration, or did you sense a level of frustration with players playing for him in that regard? Like, we kind of get it, coach, but we did this years ago.
Yeah, nobody really ever came out and said that too much, except former players that were still, you know, that still had a lot of contact with current players would express that through the media, saying that guys were frustrated by the way that they were being treated, and they, you know, they weren't college players, they were professionals, and that there was a little bit of a disconnect from that. Steve Smith, you know, former great receiver for the Panthers, he was just on recently talking about the frustration, saying that DJ Moore, one of our great receivers, was expressing frustration to him about Matt Rhule and Baker Mayfield, even, actually. So, yeah, I mean, there's definitely been some frustration over the way that he was trying to do things, and there was just a disconnect.
There has been obviously situations with quarterbacks over his time. How much of that is on him, and how much of it is just players not working out the way we thought they might work out?
I think it maybe was a combination. I mean, they parted ways with Cam Newton because, you know, I think Matt Rhule wanted to come in and have a completely fresh start and wanted to just, you know, bring in his way of doing things. So they brought in Teddy Bridgewater, who probably never really got a fair shake here. Christian McCaffrey was injured most of the season, and the offensive line was pretty bad that season. Same thing with Sam Darnold last year. You know, he had injured Christian McCaffrey, a poor offensive line. And now this year, Baker Mayfield, I think that they had it set up much better for him to succeed because they have a much improved offensive line. Christian McCaffrey is healthy. They've got weapons on offense, but he's just not playing up to par. So I think it's a combination of the two things that, you know, having four quarterbacks in four seasons here with the Panthers, three of them under Coach Rhule, that's a lot of change. You know, having so many different offensive coordinators is a big change, and it's hard for anybody to be successful under those parameters.
In terms of Dave Tepper, take us back a couple of years ago when him and Ron Rivera had a falling out, because we saw it here on the outside as an owner that wanted to go in one way and a coach that wanted to go in another way. And you know what? Let's move on and let's just break up. Was that like that, or was there a little bit more there? And is any of that playing into the decision to let go of Matt Rhule midseason?
Well, David Tepper wants to win. He is an uber competitive guy in every aspect of his life, and he wants to win. And the whole reason that Ron Rivera was let go was because he was going and trended in the wrong direction, was losing, and David Tepper wanted to win and win now. So he said, all right, you're out of here, Ron Rivera. Let's move on to the next great thing, which, of course, he thought was going to be Matt Rhule. People were really surprised that it took him this long to part ways with Matt Rhule because he was so quick to do it with Ron Rivera. I mean, obviously there's a huge contract and, 7-year deal in place here that maybe tempered that a little bit because, he preached patience for quite a while. But, I think when it came down to it, he said it yesterday, Matt Rhule couldn't get us over the hump. He said that many times. He couldn't get us over the hump. And then he was asked to describe what exactly does that mean, getting over the hump. How does that look to you? And he said, it's winning more than you won last year, trending, looking like you're going to win more than you won last year. You know, he won 5 games for the first 2 seasons in a row, only was on 1 win this year with the 4 losses. So he clearly was not trending in the right direction in terms of being a winner. And David Tepper, he said when he took over this team, he wanted consistency. He did not want to settle for mediocrity, which, unfortunately, I think people will be happy with mediocrity at this point because we're certainly not even there.
Obviously, the quarterback situation has to play itself out, but a new coach is coming in. They've obviously have Christian McCaffrey, Brian Burns, J.C. Owen. There's a lot of good young players on this team. What Absolutely. Are they inheriting?
Yeah, well, Steve Wilks. I love Steve Wilks. He's a great coach. He was a secondary coach here, then a defensive coordinator here. Then he sort of got shafted with a 1-year stint, one and done, out at Arizona before right. they, made the changes out there. And he was back here as a secondary coach here again this year. And so they've elevated him. He's from Charlotte. He went to high school here. He went to App State. He's all in on this Panthers team, and the players love him. They respect him. We had the best secondary and one of the best defenses in the league back when he was here. So I'm hoping that he is going to be able to have some success because, as you pointed out, there is plenty of talent on this team. The big X factor right now, though, is the quarterback situation. Sam Darnold still on IR. Baker Mayfield's probably going to be landing there. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets there today. He's got a high ankle sprain he suffered in the game. They expect him to be out several weeks. Don't have a lot of details on that right now. He was getting some more testing yesterday and today. But as of right now, it looks like P.J. Walker is the quarterback going into Sunday's matchup at the Rams, which, is not what you want to see. I mean, granted, he is undefeated in his starts with the Panthers, but he's unfortunately turnover prone. But, I mean, if he could come in and do something, but they're going to have to bring in another quarterback at this point to do something. But the talent around that quarterback position, there's plenty of it on both sides of the football.
If you have a season, barring some miraculous turnaround, but if we have seen more losses than wins, but they show something, is Wilkes able to? Because I'm with you. I thought he 1 year at Arizona. We all kind of shook our heads with that because a guy just basically had the job and then they didn't want him anymore. And I felt bad at the time for him. Is he in the running for this? Or would you think that they would want a new guy, clean house? Sorry, everybody, but new guys coming in.
Well, David Tepper was asked that question yesterday, and he made it clear that there were no strings attached with this job. There were no promises made. However, he said if he does very well, I mean, he didn't say if he does, get them to 6 wins, 7 wins and whatever and shows some trending in the right direction. He basically said he had to be extremely successful for him to be considered for the job. So I think that he will give him a shot, but he's got to show something more than just 6, 7, 8 wins.
Let's talk about this season so far with Mayfield. I mean, there was a lot of high expectations, but he seems to be in a position where balls are getting batted down all the time. He's not accurate. Is there any, outside of just blaming him, are there any other circumstances that should be in the equation to that?
Oh, it's hard to point to much because right. his offensive line, he's got a pretty solid offensive line right now. They're playing well, and you've got a lot of talent. Now, Coach Rhule, on a few occasions pointed out that the receivers needed to do a better job of getting open. I mean, I think maybe Ben McAdoo can dial up some plays that are a little easier out routes for him kind of thing, as opposed to trying to, really send it down the field at first just to get him a little more comfortable. But Baker has admitted on a few occasions so far this year that he's putting pressure on himself because he's not really trusting his offensive line at this point. I mean, he did come in to this team very late, in the off season, and then had to do this quarterback battle For the starting job during training camp. So he did not get all the first team reps. So there's just clearly he's not completely in tune with his offensive line yet in terms of the trust factor. So, he's creating some of these problems for himself, I think. So, he's got the stuff around him, I think, to be successful. He just needs to make these plays.
PJ Walker likely to start this weekend. Is he starting this weekend?
They haven't come out and said they were hoping to actually meet with Coach Wilkes, the interim coach, today and sort of get a lay of the land. But as it stands right now, unless Baker Mayfield makes a miraculous recovery this week, he's the only quarterback on the roster right now that's healthy, because last week Coach Rhule told us that Sam Darnold was still several weeks away from even returning to the practice field, much less playing. He also is coming off the high ankle sprain. So if Baker Mayfield's in the same boat, they're going to have to bring someone in. Of course, all the fans around here are clamoring for Cam Newton to return. exactly. And he would certainly get this fan base excited. Whether or not that will happen remains to be seen. But I would think there's going to be some movement, I would think, today or tomorrow in terms of at least getting someone in here to back up Baker, to back up P.J. Walker in case there is an issue. But as of right now, it looks like P.J. will be getting the start Sunday.
All right, Dave Tepper went with the kind of a hot college coach at the time. Is it likely that he will find one of the young coordinators in the league people are buzzing about? Or do you think he's like, look, I kind of need a guy like what Jacksonville did, get a guy that's been through this before that really knows how to be a head coach?
Yeah, I would think he didn't really talk too much about a coaching search. He said that's not the time for that right now, but he did basically say that he will not be doing any more of these 7-year contracts again.
Sure.
And also... Yeah, and that he would also make it where the GM has at least as much power as the head coach, if not more. In the current situation, Matt Rhule had final say over our GM. He had, you know, he was the deciding factor, so any and all decisions came from Matt Rhule, and that will not be happening again. I do not think that he would also be going back to the college ranks, because that's just, I mean, you can count on one hand college coaches who have been successful in the NFL.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah, so I would think that he's got to get somebody in here that's got some veteran experience to get it right the second time around. He didn't get it right on his first hire. He needs to get it right the second time around. So I would think going with somebody with more experience. They had the Joe Brady experiment, an offensive coordinator. That did not work. So I would think that you would see him getting some a veteran coach in here this next go-around.
Down the line, is Matt Corral an answer at quarterback down the line when he's finally healthy?
You know, we didn't get to see a whole lot of him. He was impressive in training camp, though. He's got a really quick release. He reads defenses well, and he can bomb the football. So, I mean, he's just, you know, obviously was having the same rookie mistakes that a lot of quarterbacks come when they come into the league at first. So he's got a lot of talent. He's a big, prototypical-looking guy. He's certainly not, you know, a listed 6'1" like Baker Mayfield. I mean, he's a big boy and has a lot of potential, and they like him. So... I think that he could potentially be the answer, but at this point, if things trend on the way they're going, they very possibly could end up with the number one overall draft pick, and I think you'd see them taking a quarterback just to be on the safe side.
Yeah, I remember you and I talking in our preview segment. There was a lot to like about this Panthers team if the quarterback was right. It's unfortunate that it didn't go
exactly
that way, because this is a very good team outside of that particular position. Sharon, good stuff. Thank you so much, as always, for joining us.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
You got it. Sharon Thorsland, WBT Charlotte, Panthers sideline reporter, as well as they fire Matt Rhule, yet another college coach in the NFL, not really quite working out. We'll come back with Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks for joining us, and thanks to Sharon Thorsland, WBT in Charlotte, on the Panthers. Yeah, you know what's sad? It's not really sad. That's probably the wrong word to use here, but when you look at the Panthers, for example. I remember back in August when we did the Carolina Panthers, and she was on. And we were like, okay, yeah, the question mark is, of course, a quarterback. And at the time, it looked like Baker was winning. It was before Sam Darnold's injury. So they were battling in camp, and Baker was kind of winning the camp battle. But you never know, right? And they were sorting that out. But we went, look at the guys on this team, right? They rebuilt the offensive line. Christian McCaffrey is an all-world player, right? There was a whole bunch of reasons to like the Carolina Panthers. There were a whole bunch of players on that team that were solid. I mean, Brian Burns is a fantastic player. As I mentioned earlier, J.C. Horn. There were a defense that was pretty strong. But it all comes down to quarterback. That's it. Like, the moment your quarterback can't play, the moment you can't get solid play out of the quarterback, it doesn't matter what you have. It doesn't matter that there's a Brian Burns on the other side of the football. It doesn't matter that your offensive line has been built to a respectable level. It doesn't matter if you have a Christian McCaffrey. You just stink. That's it. That's the way it is. And that's this league, right? Like the Steelers. There's plenty of Steelers players on that team. They're fantastic. Pro Bowl players. Kenny Pickett, if he can't score, he's yet to throw a touchdown pass in a game and a half. If they can't score, doesn't matter. They stink. And that's the way we view them. But, you know, Robert on Facebook made a point. Steve Spurrier said there are no Vanderbilts in the NFL, right? And so the college coach that comes in, I never understood this. I mean, I get it. Coaches are set in their ways. I kind of understand. But if you are going from a level where you are dealing with a certain kind of athlete, and then you go up to a level of professional athletes, you might have the shock, but it's not a brand new planet. Like, if you're in the coaching realm, you kind of know people who've been there, done that, been up, you know, maybe been an assistant coach there, came back to college, went back to the NFL, came back to college. Like, you're around enough coaches to sort of get, hey, when you get to the NFL, don't talk about being a program or developing players. Like, you don't develop players. Like, you may develop a few draft picks, but if they can't play, like, if you realize quickly that they can't play, there's no time. There's no time to get your, you know, you go, I got to find the right guy. Like, you got to learn who you're dealing with, and college coaches have a hard time doing it because they're the boss. They're in charge of everything, and professional players are like, yeah, it's not really how I'm motivated, coach. I don't need rah-rah speeches. I need strategical ways we're going to win the game. I need you to put me in a position to win this game, not rah, 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 rah. But in this situation, I think Matt Rhule realized, all right, listen, I know where I belong, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's one of the top coaches in college football soon.